Do we live in a weary world? How do we get through each day in a season that has been so chaotic, that has disrupted our normal lives? Everything seems different this year. So what do we do? Last week, I spoke of this space that exists, that Christ is born and he dies. But in between those two events, that Christ teaches us so much that he lived our life. He experienced everything that we did. So when we pray to him, he can say, "My child, I know. I suffered too. I was tempted." See, the answer's always been right in front of us, just sometimes it gets clouded. We focus on the wrong thing. We focus on the weary world when we should be rejoicing. This whole past few weeks during Advent season, I've been telling you the solution. Maybe you haven't heard it. It's been embedded in there, but it's always been there. And I want to walk through it with you this morning. The Advent candle. No, the Advent candle, the wreath here that we have, that's not the solution. What it represents, though, is those candles represent so very much. And if we can walk through these this morning, you will see that. The first candle that we lit was the candle of hope. It's often called the prophecy candle, in remembrance of the prophets who foretold the birth of Christ. If we look to Isaiah 9, verse 2, 6, and 7, the passage says this: "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Those words should sound familiar. We've been singing them this morning. "There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." I want you to recognize something. That those words were recorded 700 years before the birth of Christ. They were prophecy of Christ's coming. You see, if we look at the Old Testament, beginning in Genesis, all the way through, we will see different prophets telling us of the coming Christ. And it's right there in Scripture. He will be called the Prince of Peace. And that leads us to our second candle that we lit during Advent season. The candle of peace, or sometimes it's called the candle of faith. It's a reminder of Mary and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem. And it's sometimes called the Bethlehem candle. Luke 2 verses 1 through 5 says this: "Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child." I love these passages. Oftentimes we don't recognize how powerful they are and what they're really telling us. You see, this passage alone is the fulfillment of at least two separate prophecies. When we look to Micah 5, it says that our Savior, our Messiah, will be born in Bethlehem. Isn't it funny how God used Caesar to create a census that would force a young couple to travel a great distance to register for that census so that their son could be born in that city. See how God is at work there? But it's also the fulfillment of another prophecy. If we look to 2 Samuel 7, the prophet Samuel is speaking to David and says, from your very line, the Messiah will be born, the perfect king. Over the summer, we talked about the Messianic Psalms, pointing to that perfect king. And we see it in prophecy where David is told, from your bloodline, a son will be born, the perfect king. And we see that being fulfilled right here. And then we lit the third candle, the candle of joy. It represents the joy the world experienced upon the birth of Jesus. It is often called the shepherd's candle because they were the first to experience that joy. Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke states, in the same region where some shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. We talked about that last week. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered. They had joy at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. They got to witness the baby, our Savior, in such a fragile state. There he is. The prophecies that have been told for so many centuries are now fulfilled. And they are filled with joy. And then this morning, we lit the fourth candle, the candle of love. It's often called the angel's candle because it represents the love of Christ. 1 John 4, verse 9 says this, but this is the love of God was manifest in us, that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we had loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. That's so important we remember that at Christmas time. All this happened because of God's love. God loved us first. Despite our sin, despite everything we've ever done, he loved us. He loved us so much that he sent his Son to be a perfect sacrifice for us. So that way, we could have an eternal relationship with him. It's through this relationship that we learn love, what love truly means, that we love God, and through that, we love one another. I love how Scripture says, beloved, in other words, Southlake. If God so loved us, we should love one another. But as we look at the wreath, there is one candle that is not lit, the Christ candle. It represents the life of Christ. I want to read from John 8, verse 12 this morning. It said, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." When we look to this candle, it represents the life of Christ. That very light in the darkness. The thing that guides us home. The thing that gives us hope when we look to Christ. So the band's going to come up here, and they're going to play a song here in just a second. But I want to ask you this. Church, what do you focus on? Do we focus on the weary world? Or do we rejoice in the life of Christ? Do we rejoice in what he's given us? Do we look to the light of the world? Or do we focus on the darkness? Maybe you haven't pondered on that. And I urge you, as the worship team sings, take some time. Think about this, reflect on it, and I'll come back to you.
And oh.
Church, we are called to rejoice. We are called to give thanks in this season, to remember the birth of Christ, what a glorious gift it is. But we're called to so much more. You see, this life that Christ led is an example that we are to follow, and we're doing that this Christmas. We have the gift of the Magi, where you have given of your hard-earned money, money that God gave you. You've given back generously. We've met our goal. We've actually surpassed it. To be honest, I believe that we are over $13,000 raised now. You're going to give every cent of that away. We're going to be the light of Christ to a weary world. But to demonstrate that in a different way, I'm going to ask our board to come forward. If Carol and Denise and Adam back there, if you bring your candles with you. Rianne, Joe. And I want to make a very dramatic example for you. Sometimes we forget how all of this started. I want you to hear from Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." While Christ was alive here on earth with us, present in physical form, he taught us. We're going to dim the lights now. And in the beginning, it was just Christ. It was just that one lone light. And then Christ taught the apostles. He shared with them his wisdom, his vision, and his love for the world. And he gave this commandment. And he said, go out and do that. And so now our board, who represent the apostles in the very beginning of the church, board, will you come forward and light your candle off of the Christ candle in the center? It represents the word of God being shared. Christ gave that commandment to go and share it, and now they're going to share it with you. And so they're going to walk to you, light your candle, and we ask that once your candle is lit, that you would share it with the person behind you. This represents the start of the early church. That there was, in the beginning, just a few lights. But that light is carried around the globe. It is shared in many different nations, many different languages. Hope is being carried throughout the world. What you're to see is that you are the light of Christ, church. You carry something precious inside of you. You carry the very gift of hope. You are meant to share the gospel with this weary world. You can see how our sanctuary is illuminated by the light of Christ, that light that you carry. Church, rejoice in this precious gift that you hold in your hand, what it represents. It transforms and changes this world into something beautiful. Stay focused on that this season. Let us sing together this morning.
Let's stand together and sing Joy to the World.
Church, as we close this morning, I want to leave you with a little gift. We had these ornaments made. Say, "Oh, Holy Night." They are on the front here. And as you leave, we want you to take one of these. Every single person takes one. We want you to have this to remember this message. To take it with you. So as kids graduate high school and go off to college, they can take something from their church with them. As time passes, 20 years from now, we'll have 20 different ornaments to give you. And you can decorate a small tree in remembrance of Christ. So church, if you would like to receive a blessing this morning, hold out your hands. Be careful and don't set your neighbor on fire with your candle. That is not a Merry Christmas. Church, you've heard a beautiful message this morning of Christ, this precious gift given to us. We are to rejoice. I want you to to go this week in particular. Spend time with family. Love on them. Hug them. For you know not when your last breath will be taken. Take advantage of this time. Love on them extra special. Be thankful for what God has given you. And have joy in your heart. Church, have a merry, merry Christmas. We will see you next week. God bless you all.